The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 7 minutes past 12 midday. Man in Line's with you through till 1. Call 66 13 68. Email studio at maxradio.com, text 166 177. There were 18 new cases of COVID-19 detected yesterday. Currently we have 101 cases. Still no one in hospital with COVID-19. So 101 active cases in the community, 372 people waiting for the result of a test, and today 270 people booked in for a COVID-19 test. From the vaccination dashboard, I can spot that there have been 64,160 first doses administered, 50,861 second doses. 4,608 people are booked in for the next 7 days, and the Department of Health and Social Care currently holding 12,745 shots of vaccine in stock at the moment. Any thoughts on your mind? We'll talk about the meat plant possibly, and also the 10.5 million steam packet lost last year. Obviously, no passengers. That's a lot to do with it. But they didn't run the Fastcraft for a lot of that, and that's normally what drains a lot of the revenue out of it. Anyway, any thoughts on that? Get in touch. Just a quick word about a funeral service that's been postponed due to possible COVID testing and contact tracing. And it's the funeral service for Maureen Gale. It was due to be 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at Maloo Parish Church. Maureen's funeral has been postponed. It's not tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock at Maloo Parish Church, postponed due to possible COVID testing or contact tracing. There'll be another date given some point in the future. Gordon Kringle dropped us a note from Southern Funeral Service. So if you're heading to that tomorrow, don't, because it's been postponed. £2 million of taxpayers' money spent subsidising the Allemans meat plant every year. But this Tynwald committee met about it, convened about it, cogitated, thought, and they say it doesn't represent value for money. A report looking into the way that the meat plant is run has been published ahead of this month's setting of Tynwald. It's raising concerns about the level of political involvement. The Environmental and Infrastructure Policy Review Committee says it's not convinced the £2 million subvention represents value for money. Between 20 and 30% of the meat processed at the plant goes into the Manx market, so anywhere between 70 and 80% heads away from the Isle of Man. Red meat does represent a large proportion of the Manx agriculture sector, as it accounts for more than 90% of active farmers on the Isle of Man. The committee took evidence from a number of people involved in the running of the site, including the chairman, the DEFA minister, and the chief vet as well. There are questions being raised about the role of the chairman, and the chairman is currently a political role fulfilled by Tim Baker, MHK. The committee feels there should be less political involvement. It's particularly concerned over a decision not to appoint a third party to run the meat plant following a tender process prior to the Isle of Man meats being set up. The report says it's worrying that people involved in rejecting those that tendered were appointed as directors of the co-op. The cooperative body, that is. This report's going to be presented to Tynwald this month. It doesn't have any recommendations, so the committee is not calling for any specific action. But there could be a general debate on the issue in the future of the meat plant. The report calls for more routes to market, ways to add more value products, and ways to enhance future business funding as well. The chair is Claire Barber, and Claire Barber raised concerns that not all documents were made available to the committee, which actually, she says, hindered the scrutiny process.
One of the concerns that we do have is that there was documents that appear to have been lost. Those are documents that under the retention of documents rules do have to be kept, but when we've asked for them, they haven't been able to be produced, and that gives us concern because it means that the scrutiny role that committees play, that really important scrutiny role where we can look at decisions taken by departments, can't be fully executed because we just don't have the information that we need in that regard. The wider issue there is that that actually there is a legal responsibility to retain those documents. So not only do we want to understand what happened, how that happened, but what have they done to prevent that happening again? Because it's imperative that decisions that governments take can be scrutinised. We recognise that sometimes there are documents that for commercial reasons might not want to be disseminated wider, but it's imperative that the scrutiny committees can access them.
That's Claire Barber, and Chop's with us, first of all. Hi, Chop. Good afternoon.
Hello, Fastamai. Andy, how are you?
We're okay. What do you think about the meat plant?
Well, I was fortunate, or very unfortunate, whichever way you want to look at it, to actually work at the meat plant for 5 years. And a lot of listeners who I'm sure are listening now know me. I'm not backwards about going forwards. Now, the meat plant, in one word, is just terrible. I was there 5 years. I was there before it was the Ardman Meat Company, and when I first started there in 2015, it was the Fat Stock Marketing Association. Now, the way the meat plant is run there now is just absolutely abysmal. There's no support for farmers. The whole pricing structure, for the beast, for what the farmer gets, is totally wrong. And the whole thing is just an absolute disaster. I'm glad that Claire Barber and Chris Robertshaw have really looked into this. And I think big changes, and certainly heads should roll, and I think they will roll over the next few months.
Oh, so what do you think specifically should happen?
Well, I think the management is the main thing. I could go into detail, but I don't think it's right for...
No, I mean, don't go into detail, but the fact is, as you say, it was the Fat Stock Marketing before. Then Isle of Man Meats was formed, which was... I mean, what was the purpose of Isle of Man Meats? Can you remember what they said at the time?
Well, I remember we had a staff meeting, and the one thing that the first time I met Tim Baker was we all had a staff meeting in the canteen, and he said, and I always remember, he said that the meat plant should be around like a football team, and, we all have to work together to achieve our targets.
Oh, sorry, Chop, we've lost you. Give us a call back and continue the conversation. Let's go to Shirley in the meantime. Hello, Shirley.
Hello. All I was going to say was I do hope that they do something for Cavendish, and that sounds a very good idea. But perhaps they should remember that when they're on that the access road, that has been used for walkers for about 40 years, because I have. And they fly up and down at some ridiculous speeds, the bikers, and they don't have bells anymore, to let you know. They think that if they shout coming through, that you can move, but they don't take account of anyone who's deaf or hard of hearing.
Whereabouts is this on the railway line or the old track bed?
This is from Braddon. I usually walk the one from Braddon through to Union Mills and back.
Okay. And any particular time of day or day of the week?
No, any time or any day, especially if it's weekends, it will be busy. But I just wish they would either have a bell which they could sound when they're coming along. They say, oh, well, we don't like bells because it frightens people. It doesn't frighten them off as much as it frightens me when they come up behind me at some silly speed.
So what do you think of Cavendish then?
Oh, wonderful. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Yes, yes. I've nothing against the bikes, providing they wouldn't go up and down where we're supposed to be sharing places with walkers and bikers, if they would just remember that we're walking.
Okay, all right, Shirley, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right,
thank you very
good to
much. Bye bye.
Right, 16 minutes past 12. I think we found Chop. I think he was a victim of wandering signal there, Chop. Crack on, Chop.
Yeah, sorry, mate. I do apologise. I got cut off mid sentence. So as I was saying, we had a meeting with Mr. Baker, and he said about working as a football team to achieve our goals. And the one thing I said to Mr. Baker was, and it was the first time I'd met the man, and I said to Mr. Baker, now, all well and good comparing us to a football team, and admittedly we do have to work together as a collective team to achieve the goal. However, the one thing with the comparing us to football is when things start to go wrong, the first thing to go is management, and I think that's what's happening now. And I'm very fortunate to be heavily involved with the farming community in Ardman and the young farmers. So I know a lot of people, and a lot of farmers now are slowly starting to drift away from the Ardman meat plant. And listening to Mr. Baker and then what he tells the media, isn't always what's actually going on at that meat plant, and I think the money could be well spent in other government departments.
So what's the mechanism then? How is the meat plant, or before that, the Fat Stock Association, how does that fit in with what farmers do? Where does it fit in the equation?
In regards to what, Andy?
In terms of price, obviously, because a price has to be maintained so farmers can make a living and also make sure that the meat plant is operating and that's washing its face. Obviously, there's a £2 million subvention that goes to it, but it is an export trade as well, Chop. So when you say the farmers aren't too chirpy about this, why?
Well, I think the standard of workmanship has slowly decreased over the last few years at the meat plant, and again that stems from management. There's no responsibility. I was actually talking to a good friend of mine last night who supplies the meat plant with cattle, and the problem is, Andy, now if he puts a beast in, say today for argument's sake, to be slaughtered, now the condition of that animal by the time it gets to the fridge and he's paid on pence per kilo, and just the general there's a lot of charges. I could go into it, but I don't want to bore anyone to sleep. There's a lot of charges. You know, the farmers have to pay for distribution charges and tipping charges to get rid of the waste. And again, it all boils down to the end product. And there's a lot of farmers that aren't happy with the end product and what they're being paid. And unfortunately, there's a lot of them that are slowly swaying away from the meat plant.
If they go away from the meat plant, what will they do with the beasts?
They'll just be live exported. Or there's a couple of farmers on the Isle of Man who will buy stock and then and live export them to the UK to be slaughtered.
What do you think is going to happen? This is now going to Tinball, Chop. I mean, what do you think should happen? What do you think will happen?
What I think should happen is, you know, that there was always. Again, this meeting we had with Tim Baker, he said, you know, there was no political involvement with the meat plant. However, you've got Tim Baker, who was a politician. There's Andrew Lees, who sits on the board of directors, who at the time, when the Alba Meat Company was formed, was the food development manager for DEFA. Personally, I don't think that DEFA should have any involvement with it. There should be the regulators, don't get me wrong, that there is representatives of DEFA who work within the meat plant. But personally, I think it should be ran as a private company with no government involvement.
Well, and that will mean it has to make a profit, though.
Yeah, it does. And unfortunately, it hasn't made a profit for a few years. However, it's one of them. It's sort of the cancer of the meat trade, unfortunately, that the meat plant on the Isle of Man. And every year it doesn't make money, and every year they go back to Tinball cap in hand, and they get a bit more money, and the board of directors will sit around the board table at the meat plant, scratch their heads, wondering why it's not making money, and there's a lot of management there, Andy, that are pulling in a lot more money than what they should be in terms of salary for what they actually do, and you know every year they sit around this table scratching their heads, wondering why it's not working, and again, you know, it gets to the end of the financial year, they're in the red. And they just go back to Tinwald, and they're just handed out money every year. And unfortunately, it's money for old rope, and things need to change. But certainly, I think, and I've listened to all the evidence sessions within that committee. I'm good friends with Claire Barber and Chris Roach. I've listened to these sessions, and I think hopefully over the next couple of months, maybe the next year, that there's going to be massive change at the meat plant. Not only in the operation side, but certainly in management as well.
Okay. All right, Chop. Thanks for bringing that to our attention today.
Cheers, Andy. Take care.
All right. Thank you. 21 minutes past 12. That's the concern over the meat plant. Well, the recommendations, the report's going to be presented to Tinball this month. Again, no recommendations. No specific action as well. So there will be a general debate in the future of what happens to the meat plant and how to make it work, really, for the Isle of Man, for the farmers, for the concern itself as well. Something else that's exciting interest is that the steam packet lost £10.5 million last year. The steam packet company's accounts have been published ahead of this month's Tinwall sitting again, so there'll be talk about that as well as the meat plant. Steam packet lost £10,561,803 last year, 2020, compared with a profit of just under £10 million before, so a turnaround of £21 million. The report says cancellation of TT, as well as obviously ongoing COVID restrictions, had a very significant effect on the income. Passenger revenues down £25 million, but a reduced sailing schedule saved the company about £10.8 million in operating costs. Revenue from freight was just £900,000 lower than normal, which is about 4% compared to a loss of 90 to 95% loss of passenger traffic. So really, freight held the whole thing up. Total revenue for the year, £28.4 million, down from £61.3 million in 2019. That's a massive cost of COVID-19. Non-essential capital expenditure was suspended to protect capital reserves. Freight custom largely unaffected. A statement in the document that will be presented to Timwald says that Treasury, which is the sole shareholder, will provide support for the steam packet. And, of course, there's a new vessel to be purchased as well. And talking of Tim Baker, MHK, the infrastructure minister, he's got the landing stage to worry about in Liverpool, as well as the meat plant and the prom and everything else. And tomorrow, Ray Harmer is there. Now, remember, Ray Harmer was Minister for Infrastructure before Tim Baker. He's now Policy and Reform, took the position that was vacated by Chris Thomas when Chris Thomas exited Comin. So it will be interesting to see what possibly Mr. Harmer has to say, A, about the promenade, B, about the meat plant, and also about the landing stage. And Policy and Reform, of course, is as long as it is broad, really. It covers right across government departments. Let's get some lots of messages coming in today regarding the COVID travel pass applications via the phone number 650800. Apparently, it's been engaged all morning. I just wonder if you're having trouble. We had a couple of messages in regarding 650800, the COVID travel pass applications. If you've tried on that phone, or if it's now working, then just let us know as well. Travelling to the UK is now an individual choice for face masks. Whether you choose to wear one or not is a personal choice. You shouldn't be getting abused. Don't develop Stockholm syndrome as well. Here's a note in. Instead of naming the Peel to Douglas railway line the Cavendish Way, why don't we call the promenade the Cavendish Way as well? Maybe he'd get down quicker than most people. He probably would get down quicker than most people on as well. Here's a mention in that just says, a bit of advice if anyone's thinking of travelling outside the UK, you will need the NHS vaccination approval barcode. If you don't have it, you may get turned back, or probably will get turned back. And here's a note in from G, who just said the government, this is G313, concerned with hospital cases. UK scientists estimate 10% of cases will suffer long COVID. So while hospital cases may be zero on the Isle of Man, we may have 170 plus people and counting needing long-term NHS care. I think the government should still focus on the number of cases. We've asked, by the way, we've asked the government how many people are isolating. They used to publish the number of people who are isolating, and we'll see if we can get a figure on that at the moment. There may be lots and lots of people who are isolating, and certainly some businesses are in trouble because of people having to isolate. Howard's with us on Man in Line 9 today. Good afternoon, Howard.
Good afternoon, Andy. Just you saying about, somebody said name the promenade Cavendish Way. Don't insult the lad. at least if they put a bit of gravel down on the old railway tracks, they've achieved something. Same as Cav has achieved, a miracle. But, for God's sake, don't name the promenade after him. No, that's not what I come on for, actually. I was looking at your website this morning for the news, and I noticed that they've said, you know, they've appealed for people not to go to A&E because they're swamped. And if necessary, go to Ramsay. Fine, if you've got transport. But if you're bleeding and you've got to get the bus, God help you. But how do you think that, I can't ask you personally, but what do you think of the inability to get a doctor's appointment has contributed largely to the overwhelming of A&E, where people cannot get an appointment, saying, right, sorted, I'm going to go up to A&E. And I know last week my wife wanted an appointment with a doctor because she wasn't well, and eventually she got said, we'll phone you back tomorrow at 10 to 9. Several hours later, after getting up, sitting here waiting, the doctor did eventually phone back. And, well, he said, just take these tablets and that's it. So people are getting wary of these phone calls from doctors, etc. And I don't know how many other practices, but the practice I'm with, and I won't name it at the moment, but you have one awful job, one hell of a job, to try and get an appointment with anybody, any doctor, or occasionally the nurse.
Well, and they can't have it both way, Howard. I mean, if they're saying now, don't go to accident emergency, don't go to Nobles, as you say, trek to Ramsey, which is fine if you're north of Laxey, Ramsey's not too far, yep. Or Kirkmichael, that's fine. But over half the Isle of Man's population lives in Douglas, Onchan and Bratton.
That's right. And if you're living down south, it's even, you know, I know you say it's not a big island, but for somebody that's not feeling too well, yeah. That's one long journey. You could be several hours on a bus, or if you're lucky enough, you get a lift. As I say, getting appointments with doctors these days, it's virtually impossible.
Now, we've heard this, Howard, we've heard sometimes, and then we also get phone calls from people who say, actually, I got through straight away and my doctor's fine, so it's patchy at best.
Yes, there are. I'm not saying it's all. There are quite a number that won't, or are reluctant, shall I say, to see you personally. I haven't seen a doctor for over a year, and I suffer diabetes. And my last appointment for the diabetes nurse was cancelled, and they never told me. They never told the nurse. And I actually turned up for the appointment, was sitting there waiting. And then I got in. It was not the nurse I wanted to see. It was somebody different. She didn't even know I was coming. So somewhere in the system, Manx Care are going to have to get their act together.
Well,
a new broom.
And the thing is, they've given no reason for what's happening at Nobles Hospital. They've not said actually why it is.
They just said they're overwhelmed. Now, they were saying there that it's not COVID. They've got to blame everything on COVID. But if people can't get to a doctor, and a lot of people are reluctant to go to a pharmacist, even then there's shortage at the moment, but they will go immediately to A&E. Personally speaking, that's where I'm going to go in the future, A&E. I'm not going to bother with my doctor. It's a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
So A&E are going to suffer. And this is not a new thing for our factors. If this was happening in Kate Beecroft's days and Howard Quayle's days, and it's still happening now. So that's a long, long time.
How's your wife now, Howard?
She's still not good. She's still not feeling too clever, but as I say, we've had no feedback, nothing. Just keep taking the tablet for a week or so, and then come back to me. And she'll have to sit and wait for another telephone diagnosis. But if she was able to go in and see the doctor, then it might be a different story. Because the temperatures, the blood pressure, everything like that could be taken. But you can't take that over the phone.
No.
But as I say, I wonder how many other people are suffering the same problem and just saying, well, I can't be bothered ringing me doctor. Because if you ring up, say now, I'm sorry, but we got no appointments. You'll have to ring at 8:30 in the morning. And then you might get an appointment for some time the next day. But the doctor's surgeries, they seem to have gone down the path now, since the COVID start, of they're reluctant to see patients face-to-face.
Okay, Howard. Well, give her all our best. Thanks for calling today.
Will do. Thanks very much. Take care.
29 minutes before one, yeah. Those with minor injuries are now being urged to use Ramsey Cottage Hospital. People seeking medical help for minor injuries are asked not to use A&E, the old casualty, at Nobles Hospital. Extremely high demands force hospital bosses to ask you to use the minor injuries unit at Ramsey Cottage Hospital instead. They haven't given any specific reason why there is a surge in demand. Now, it could be that just people are turning up with problems that they can't diagnose themselves and they're clogging the system up. But maybe nice if they actually just say. John dropped me a note in. Did the government confirm the serial numbers alleged to be made by an unrecognised agent in India aren't applicable to the exact same numbers a lot of Manx people have got on their cards? I'd like Mr. Ashford to just to get in touch and let us know. They keep saying that the Covishield wasn't administered. Does this mean that if we turn up with a Covishield number elsewhere, they'll turn us back? Why does Nobles do a why doesn't Nobles Clinic do a walk-in blood clinic anymore? Waiting 3 weeks for blood tests is ridiculous, says this correspondent. That stopped a while ago, didn't it? The walk-in blood clinic. Here's a note in that just said. With COVID cases running into the hundreds, even without the amount of testing there is, and COVID apparently over in 7 days, not 28. How many of the 101 people have had both jabs and how many have had one jab but also no jabs? It'd be interesting to know how it sits with the whole system, says Tony. The Farmers Cooperative ran the meat plant a lot more efficiently than the government did and at less cost. Here's a message in that said, we need some facts then about the meat plant as well. Well, hopefully when Tynwald sits and when that meat plant committee report comes out, there will be some facts, obviously, with the government subvention involved, and there'll be an element of commercial confidentiality. But it seems something is not quite right. A note in just say, Shirley's right about cyclists not being respectful of walkers. Cav is a road racer, by the way, so far more appropriate to name a road after Mark Cavendish as well. Here's a message in that just said, the track at the NSC will be a better choice to be renamed after Mark Cavendish rather than what is a mountain bike trail between Douglas and Peel, says Dee. Also the question as well, I think, didn't Julie Edge, one of the Onken MHKs, talk about turning Onken Stadium into a velodrome?
You can get the best of everything and the price is just as nice.
Oh, I'm so glad we went to Pacesetter. The perfect shower, some great tiles, all the accessories we needed. They had it all. Amazing ranges from traditional to modern, many exclusive to Pacesetter. Get your bathroom on song. Visit the Pacesetter showrooms at Harris Terrace and Spring Valley.
You can get the best of everything. Where the price is twice as nice.
Nearly as good as me.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorial's skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
Registration is now open for the Buchan School and King William's College. Come and discover how your child can enjoy the perfect start at the Buchan and then benefit from academic excellence to achieve their full potential at King William's College. With average class sizes of 13, superb extracurricular activities and individual support, it's an outstanding island education for your child's global future. So call 820110 to arrange your visit.
Can-do is more than just an attitude. Can-do is making a world of difference in a different world. It's a team of specialists aiming to make more of your money. Can-do is a fruitful relationship built on your terms. Can-do is Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. Visit candowealth.com to see how we can help you build your wealth with confidence. Canaccord Genuity Wealth International Limited is licensed for investment business by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
It's another Caroline North weekend from the Ross Revenge, with some great music from the 60s, 70s, 80s and just into the 90s. We have virtual money to give away in our competition, and the weekend is sponsored by 1to1dates.com. Join us this weekend on the Ross Revenge for Caroline North.
It's Radio Caroline North, live from the Ross Revenge.
1368 AM.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 24 minutes before one. The Isle of Man meat industry, says this correspondent, has never recovered from the ending of the red meat derogation. Also, the major supermarkets are to blame in not wanting to use Isle of Man meats, as they already have suppliers in the UK and will do anything to run Manx meat down to benefit themselves. Let's look after Manx farmers for once, and let's buy local. Keith dropped a note in just to say, I believe Isle of Man meat should work harder on sales on the Isle of Man. And Melanie says all supermarkets on the Isle of Man stock meat from elsewhere, milk and butter in prime positions, and it is not always cheaper. Why can't the Isle of Man make more effort to use local meats? Maybe the supermarkets have a hold on someone. I was under the impression that a burger establishment in Douglas was to use all Manx produce. Does it? Which one is that, Melanie? For goodness sake, we should get our act together and use Manx produce, use local produce. Here's Brenda now. Hello, Brenda.
Hello.
What's on your mind, Brenda?
Well, it is not receiving the Manx telecom bills by post. I was trying to arrange to... I'd already paid by direct debit, and I was trying to arrange to discontinue receiving paper copies. So I wrote to them finally last week and said that I'd spent half an hour the previous week and three quarters of an hour that day trying to get through by phone and internet, and in desperation I was trying the mail. All I was asking them to do was to discontinue sending me paper bills in future. They got all my details, and I already paid by direct debit. And then I put, it's proved necessary to write to you, as it's proved necessary to write to you, perhaps you will consider deducting £2.50 plus VAT off my next bill, and maybe a little more for the inconvenience I've been put to. Well, following that, somebody very kindly rang me up and apologised, but still this didn't get sorted out. I tried to get through again on the 9th, and after waiting 10 minutes, gave up. I tried again yesterday, and finally, after waiting online for 20 minutes, I spoke to somebody, but the computer wouldn't accept my billing details, which I put in from my most recent bill, which was the beginning of June, and just refused to accept it. So I finally lost my rag and asked to speak to a supervisor who was very helpful, but we didn't progress very far. And she said she would call me back in the afternoon and try to sort it out. In the meantime, I received 12 emails, at least 12, from Manx Telecom asking me to put in my email address. These expired after 10 minutes, and I still haven't got my email address accepted. Then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I received my mail, and there was another paper bill from Manx Telecom. So finally, we have got it sorted out, but I'm just wondering how many other people have had so much difficulty in trying to arrange to discontinue receiving paper bills.
Well, it's a complete circus, isn't it?
It is.
And how long has this taken now?
Well, I wrote to them on the 25th of June, and we got it sorted out yesterday.
Well, let's hope no more show up.
Yes, but you see, they asked me to quote the amount from my last bill, which was the beginning of June, which I quoted, and it wouldn't accept it. And then yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock, when my mail came, I received a paper copy with my latest bill, which was dated the 1st of July.
This obviously doesn't fill you with confidence, does it, Brenda?
No, not really. The supervisor I spoke to was extremely helpful and very pleasant. But I just wonder how many other people have tried to do this and have had similar experiences.
Okay, well, if anybody has, let's hope they get in touch with us. Brenda, thanks for calling today.
You're welcome.
All right, good to talk to you. I want to go to Sue now on Man in Line. It's Sue. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Andy. You've mentioned a couple of times about people, numbers of people that are in self-isolation.
Yes.
I was looking on this a couple of days ago because a couple of people have said to me that they know people who have had to go into self-isolation because they've been high-risk contacts. I had a look on the government website and there is a little paragraph that says about vaccination exemption. And I'm just wondering how many people know about this, because it says on there, and this is the government website, a person who has received the full course of vaccination, currently 2 injections, followed by 14 clear days since the second injection, will not have to self-isolate where they have been identified as a high-risk contact of a positive case or where a member of their household returns a positive test result. Now, it says that obviously if you show symptoms and if you return a positive test, then you would have to self-isolate. But it says that you do not have to if you are 2+2 and you don't have symptoms and you have not returned a positive test result.
Whereabouts is this? Which part of the website?
It's on covid19.gov.in. And then it's under general information and a section called self-isolation. But also under this paragraph about vaccination exemption, there is also a section of COVID-19 symptoms. And the first line of this, it says, if you test positive, you and other members of your household will now need to self-isolate for the next 10 days. It doesn't make any reference to the previous paragraph about vaccination exemption, which says, states that if you do not have symptoms and you haven't returned a positive test and you're 2+2, then you don't have to self-isolate.
It's almost like nobody's checked it.
Yeah. And I did raise it with David Ashford. I sent him an email, and as most of the time, David Ashford is very good about coming back to reply to emails. And he confirmed that anybody who is 2+2 and is not showing COVID symptoms and hasn't returned a positive test, if they've been asked to have one, then they do not have to self-isolate.
Okay, so your reading, is that, that's what you, you're accepting that version of it, obviously.
Yeah, because that's what's on the government's website. Well, I've got it in front of me now. I've just read that from you, and I've received my reply from David Ashford this morning, and say he's confirmed that anybody who is 2+2 and, you know, even if they've been identified as a high-risk contact of a positive case, and if there are members of their household who have returned a positive test result, unless the person who is 2+2 is showing signs, symptoms of COVID-19, and if they have returned a positive test, if they haven't returned a positive test, if they've been asked to do one, they do not have to self-isolate.
How are you feeling about the situation now, Sue? Obviously, the government is saying now, don't concentrate on cases, concentrate on hospitalizations, and nobody's in hospital.
Yeah, I'm happy with that, because it's like they said before we actually came out of the last lockdown, we want to start concentrating on that, because if we have 80 people, well, it's like now we've got 101 cases, positive cases, but there's nobody in hospital. It's like if you think about it on similar lines to the flu, we could have had like 500 cases of the flu, but if there's nobody or if there's not significant numbers in hospital, then really we don't need to concentrate on the actual numbers of positive cases. If we've got like 100 and odd people that are in hospital and our health system is suffering and struggling because of that, then yes, they would need to do something about it. But while we haven't got cases in hospital and it's not putting any duress on our health system, then why do we need to keep knowing about the numbers?
Okay. All right, Sue. Thanks for calling today. Appreciate that.
Okay, thanks, Andy. Bye.
14 minutes before one.
If your business buys professional indemnity or directors and officers liability insurance, you'll be well aware that premiums are rising and cover is being reduced. Aon can talk you through the different exclusions to help you get the best deal. We're one of the largest international insurance specialists, and we're here to help. Call 692-400. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
Summer is all about the outside. It's here, waiting for you in ShopRite's chillers, so you don't miss out on your sunshine. Look for Summer Edition by Sainsbury's. A world of flavours for summer eating with all the hard work done for you. Kebabs, ribs, drumsticks, sizzlers, ready to go straight into your oven or onto the barbecue, freeing you to relax and enjoy the compliments. Summer Edition by Sainsbury's, exclusively at ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
Looks like the Manx Shearwater has returned early this year.
Shearwater? Your investment plan with Ramsay Crookhall?
No, the bird.
Oh!
But you're right. My Shearwater should make some impressive returns too.
Wish I could afford to invest.
You can. It's flexible and really affordable. Invest a lump sum or a monthly amount. It'd be a great way for you to get started.
Shearwater from Ramsay Crookhall. For 75 years, the island's investment specialist, offering a wide range of services to make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookhall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
This Tuesday at 6 o'clock here on Manx Radio, join Kiri Kermode and Simon Clark for the new series of Countryside. I spoke to Craig Brinkley, who's opening his garden up near the Jerby Church again this year to raise money for charity.
I popped along to Ballacullingan and caught up with the school children that were attending Brian and Fiona Brumby's farm, along with the Manx Wildlife Trust. That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock. Download or subscribe to the podcast at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good to have you along. It's 12 minutes before one. Here's John on Man in Line. Hello, John.
Good morning. Just to put out a warning, Andy, I had a phone call yesterday and another one about 10 minutes ago on my landline, which is next directory line, to say that I'd missed a call from BT and if I didn't reply, that my landline on my email would be switched off. Press 1 for further. Obviously, I've just switched off straight away, but just a warning if anybody else gets them.
Okay, and this happened what time yesterday?
It was yesterday morning about 11 o'clock, and then about 20 to 1 this after just now.
Okay, so the scammers are out today, obviously, John.
It looks like it, yesterday and today.
Okay, all right, thanks for telling us that.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. It's 11 minutes before one. Thank you, John. A quick mention, by the way, a week on Thursday, it's local election day. Thursday, July 22nd. It was due to be April 22nd this year, but COVID, you know, and it was due to be last year and COVID, you know. So a week on Thursday, there'll be a special programme on Manx Radio, a special evening programme as we get round the counts and we've got people around the local elections. A week on Thursday, July 22nd. That's a week on Thursday. 10 weeks on Thursday, it's the Keys general election. Thursday, September 23rd, of course, we'll be around all the constituencies, all the counts for that as well, and special programs throughout the evening on Thursday 23rd. But just a quick word that if you aren't yet registered to vote, your last opportunity to register to vote is Thursday the 2nd of September. So you have to be registered by the 3rd of September. And just a quick word on something happening just before that. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 weeks on Friday, it's that special bank holiday. We've got a four-day bank holiday weekend, 27th of August through till the 30th, a four-day, it's the kind of replicated senior race day. Here's Phil now on Man in Line. Hello, Phil.
Hi, just about Manx Radio, Manx Radio, Manx Telecom. I phoned them up a couple of weeks ago to say that I didn't want to pay a bill. We have a direct debit. And they said, oh, you've got to fill in online to say, to get out of, you know, getting a paper bill. And I said, well, no, I shouldn't have to do that. I should just be able to tell you that. And they said, no, you have to fill in online. So they didn't give me an opportunity to write a letter in or anything. So I said, I want to make an official complaint about this because I think this is terrible, that they can't just accept a verbal instruction. So they said, yes, we'll put a complaint in for you. I've had no response about that. There's no letter, no acknowledgement that I've put a complaint in. This is the second time that I've complained to Manx Telecom. I complained to them a few months ago when the broadband went off because their servers weren't working properly. And I was having to pay bills because I got free calls when my broadband worked. I put a complaint in. I never had a response, never heard anything about it.
No acknowledgement even?
No acknowledgement, nothing. And that's on for two separate complaints that I've put into them. So, you know, you're just banging your head against the wall, aren't you, really? It's, you know, so, yes, we've just received a paper bill yesterday, another paper bill that we have to pay for. But why? You know, why couldn't the lady online just say, you don't want to receive them anymore? We'll cut them off.
All right. Thanks for that, Phil.
Cheers.
Good to talk to you. Pete dropped a note in and just said, isn't it a legal requirement for a bicycle to have a bell? I don't think it is anymore. Maybe it should be. Or siren. How about that? Manx meat prices, I think, are a rip-off. So we should make it private. No one's going to buy rip-off Manx meat prices, says Dave. Well, the customer will choose in the end whether it costs more, could be better. But there's certainly something happening at the meat plant, and we'll find out more from that from when Timball meets as well. Here's a message in just to say the meat plant is government-run, so it'll never be run properly. I think it's overstaffed, says John. Well, we'll try and get more facts out of this, but it's obviously something to run. I, as a farmer, I'm happy enough how the things are with the fat stock. The grading of carcass and prices received seem a lot more fair and in line with the cross than ever before in my time, which is all that can be asked of the meat plant in the current climate. Phil, it's not the same Phil, it's another Phil. Hello, Phil.
Hello, good afternoon. It must be a Phil thing this afternoon.
Yes, it is.
Reference to the last gentleman that was on the phone with the Manx Telecom bill, I'm having a very similar problem. Twice I've been onto them. Last month I got onto them telling them I didn't want a paper bill. And they said that they would send me one over the phone. Well, I don't want one over the phone. I don't want to be forced to have to use my phone for everything, my bank and all the things like that. I got an email from them. It was a bill. But I had to go onto their site to read it. I didn't go on their site. I phoned them up. I told them that I didn't want that sent to my phone. But they told me I didn't want a bill. I said, no, I don't want a bill. Well, I do want a bill, but I don't want charged $2.75 for it. Manx Electric Board don't send me a bill, and the oil people don't send me a bill with a cost to it. But she was adamant that I would have to have this, and she put me onto a manager because I was really rather upset about it. And the manager said exactly the same thing, so I told him in the end, don't send me a paper bill and don't send me one on the phone, because if you do, I just won't read it. At some point, if I'm owing you money, I'm sure you'll send me a bill. Now, they're obliged by law to send the bill, and not have the opportunity to charge you for the privilege as well. Nobody else seems to do the other amenities, do they?
So, I mean, where do you stand at the moment? Are you not getting a paper bill?
Well, I've just had the recent paper bill, not paper bill, the one sent on the phone, but I'm not reading it because I have to go onto their site to open it. And I'm not going to open it. I'm not going to give in to them. But I shouldn't be charged for a bill. They're legally obliged to send me a bill. And everybody else. Their excuse was, we can charge. And that's what this woman kept saying to me, we can charge. I'm sure they can, but why are they charging? Nobody else does.
Okay. All right, Phil. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much indeed.
All right, it's good to talk to you. Thank you. I use the railway line, says Gav. I don't agree with that lady who said that cyclists are on the railway line. I use it a lot, as a cyclist, I slow down and say, excuse me, or coming through. What's wrong with that? Cavendish Way for the promenade. Good idea, says John. Members of the staff tested positive for COVID last Friday. The pub was open all weekend and busy for the Euro final Sunday night. Now, this pub is temporarily shut with 11 staff in isolation from the Facebook page as well. More rumours in about the meat plant. Most of the staff at the meat plant earn less than the living wage. £9 an hour. Well, again, we'll find out more detail of what's going on at the meat plant when the when Tynwald meets. Maybe A&E have been overwhelmed because of staff isolation. And Dave said also there are a lot of people turning up at A&E with very, very minor issues that don't need to see a doctor. Never had a problem getting to see a doctor or the heart specialist for that matter. Well, that's the point. Some people wait for ages till they want to see the doctor, and some people go at the drop of a hat. Not saying it's you, but some people do. So that may be what's clogging up the system. It could be that some of the staff are isolating at A&E and they've got staffing issues, but the hospital's busy, says this correspondent, as they've taken on residents from the Corran home in Peel. Apparently that's filled a ward. Well, that's uncorroborated at the moment, so we don't know about that. And more, I keep getting more messages about the flumes, by the way. But we'll leave it there for the moment. It is a flume-free Tuesday at the NSC. Tomorrow, Ray Harmer, MHK, live on Man in Line, Policy and Reform. You want to get in touch? Then check it out tomorrow. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern.